Welcome to the Media Madhouse. I am your insane host, Randy Dyes. I want to apologize for how long it's been. I definitely missed you guys. The last episode we did was summer of 2018, and it has been a crazy couple of years. If you have kept up with me on social media or anything else, then I'm sure you are very well aware of everything that has been going on in my life. And the good news is the bad is over, the good is right in front of me, and this is one of those amazingly good things. I'm so excited to be back at this. I'm so excited to be doing this. I really miss talking about this stuff, and I think this is going to be a good time for everybody, and I think everyone's going to enjoy what we're doing. So, once again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for coming back. And if this is the first time that you are listening to the podcast, thank you so much for joining us. And I definitely hope that you guys come back. Excuse me. So, on this reboot day, I guess we can call it, what exactly is going on Monday? Well, let's kick it off with this then. The box office for this past weekend. Once again, the little hedgehog that could comes in at number one for its second week with $7,835 million. Which is not a big surprise to me, considering the fact that everybody has been talking about this film. Everybody has been geeking about this film. I mean, there have been some critics, you know, people have had some issues with this or that or the other thing. But overall, everybody's pretty much on the same page. And so that doesn't really surprise me. I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on some of this stuff because I haven't been around to talk about the actual what has been going on. So for me with the Sonic thing, I have a lot of respect for the director. I don't know if this is something that should be repeated too often, but the fact that the director listened to the fans when the original Sonic character design came out and pushed the movie back a year, redesigned the character, re-released it, it definitely paid off. And I think that while I'm worried that this kind of a thing is going to continue to happen and become kind of a trend where the filmmakers are not going to be able to push the envelope or try something new because fans might get mad and we always have to bow down to the fans. Again, I'm a fan, and I'm not saying that that filmmakers shouldn't listen to fans. But if it becomes no matter what we want to do, if they say no, then we have to listen to them or else. I'm just hoping that directors' visions and dreams don't get stifled because a bunch of fanboys or fangirls or fan peeps, however you want to classify yourself in this category, are throwing a stink on Twitter. But in this case, I do think it worked out really well. And I think it came out well. And I think the movie is absolutely hilarious. It's fun. It's a fun movie. It's fun. In my opinion, it's fun for adults who grew up on the Sonic games. And it's also fun for kids. My daughter went and saw it for her birthday. She absolutely adored it. And she hasn't really played a lot of Sonic games, but she's watched Sonic cartoons. So this was a really cool thing for her. So it's not surprising that this Sonic movie did well. It was getting a lot of positive feedback, and a lot of people were talking about how fun it was. And also, I mean, honestly, you want the complete and honest truth? It's one of the highest grossing video game films of all time, which is unheard of. Nobody was expecting that one to happen. But what was funny is that there was a lot of people in the press seemed to trying to put Sonic against something else. Harrison Ford's movie, The Call of the Wild, a remake, came out this past weekend as well, and everyone was talking about how, oh, Harrison Ford's movie's going to beat Sonic, blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately, The Call of the Wild was not as strong as a lot of the critics thought it was going to be, because Call of the Wild ended at $6 million. Following in the top, or in the top three, were Birds of Prey at $2,065,000. Bad Boys for Life, $1,645,000. And Bram's The Boy 2 was, I think that came out this weekend. Didn't do so hot. Either way, it's not a very good turnout at $1,350,000. I can't talk today. Over 1 million, but still. you can tell it's A, the first day, and two, I'm not feeling so hot. So I'm stumbling over some things here, but. So yeah, there was a lot of conversation about, you know, was Call of the Wild going to beat Sonic? Is, you know, Sonic doomed? Is it going to drop? Is it going to do this? Is it going to do that? Nope. A little hedgehog still kicking fast as possible. So I'm very curious to see where Sonic's box office is going to be. Because, I mean, it did, I believe, like 50 million last weekend. And it dropped to 7. So, I mean, it wasn't a very strong box office weekend for anybody. But that's to be expected. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of the people that wanted to see Sonic probably saw it over the weekend because word traveled really fast. So, if you haven't seen it yet, and I've even heard that Call of the Wild is a really good movie too. I'm not trying to throw shade at anything on here, but it's just interesting to me that Sonic seemed to beat out this film that everybody was talking about was gonna overpower it. But if you haven't seen Sonic, Call of the Wild, Birds of Prey, Bad Boys for Life, please go check them out. Go check them out. Send me an email at MediaMadhousePod@gmail.com and let me know what you thought about it. You know, let's have a dialogue. Let's have a discussion about it. All right. Let's move on to our second topic for the day, and that is a new trailer dropped. It's the first one, but it's a new trailer in general. Transformers War for Cybertron Trilogy trailer for Netflix. I saw it just this morning before I started doing the show, and I am just blown away by it. It is a fully animated series. Kind of reminds me of Transformers, the 87 movie, I believe it was 87. Transformers animated movie. But it's a TV series, and it looks really good. It looks really, really, really awesome. I didn't know about this. It just kind of popped up in my news feed, and I was like, hello, what is this we're talking about here? If it's something that you're interested in, I would highly recommend, or at least curious, you know, look it up on YouTube. You know, I'm sure there's other outlets, you know, probably on social media and stuff like that. We're definitely going to be following it. I'm going to be keeping an eye on it and seeing, you know, what's going on with that. And I'm very, very, very curious to see what they do with it. I'm wondering if it's similar to the Godzilla animated series, well, animated trilogy, that they put out on Netflix, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. It was different. It had a different vibe, a different lore, everything else. So I loved it. I thought it was good. And I'm curious to see if that's what they end up doing with, the Transformers, War for Cybertron, trilogy. It's a little different because it's a trilogy. But from my understanding, each of the trilogy installments is going to be a series of, I believe, like 6 episodes, all of them 22 minutes each. So it's definitely a different formula. This is something that I'm the more I think about it and the more I talk about it, the more kind of curious I get about it, because I'm not quite sure how this works. It's a trilogy, but it's a series. It's a series, but it's a trilogy. How does this work together? It's kind of an interesting combination. And just randomly thoughts going off in my head. I wonder if this is something that's going to catch on and do more, you know, trilogy series shows things. All right, let's move on to the next topic today. And the next topic is about Kevin Feige apparently almost losing his job. If you don't know who Kevin Feige is, first of all, where in the heck have you been the past decade or so? Kevin Feige is the head of Marvel. He is the head of Marvel Studios. He's the mastermind behind all of the Avengers, Iron Man, all those movies, all, was it 21, 22 movies? I think there's more coming through now. That whole shared universe, all that stuff that we've been loving, that's all him. And apparently this is something that's just, it's kind of fun to hear about and know about. But apparently he put his job on the line standing up to a bunch of the Disney shareholders about female-led superheroes. Apparently Mark Ruffalo was saying this in an interview, which doesn't shock me because Mark Ruffalo tends to kind of shoot his mouth off a lot. I don't know if this is something that Kevin would necessarily want talked about, but, you know, it's Mark. What are you going to do? A lot of us know a lot of Mark's history and how he's been able to kind of say some interesting things or cause interesting problems, not intending to at all. But this seems like he's kind of sticking up for a friend and just talking about something that he thought was really cool. But according to Mark, Ruffalo, this is from Mark Ruffalo. He says, when we did the first Avengers, Kevin Feige told me, listen, I might not be here tomorrow. He was going to talk to Disney about the issue of why there were no female superhero movies. And he's like, Isaac Perlmutter, Disney's largest shareholder at the time, does not believe that anyone will go to a female starring superhero movie. So if I'm still here tomorrow, you will know that I won that battle. Obviously, he won the battle because of Captain Marvel and Black Widow. So, obviously he did that. I mean, plus, besides those two, he also did Ant-Man and the Wasp, a co-billing. For that film, and Ant-Man and the Wasp was considered, you know, number two. So I think it's really cool that Kevin stepped it up and basically said, look, we've got characters that can totally lead their own, you know, their own films. And obviously a lot of what Marvel has done lately has been gold. Even their bad isn't that bad. So for me, obviously, there's going to be a point where something they do doesn't land quite as strongly as even their worst stuff. But, you know, the fact that they're, especially Kevin, is trying to push that narrative and trying to make it more so, I think is really awesome. I think that's a really, really cool thing for him to do. So yeah, I mean, the article continues on with more from Ruffalo about Kevin wanting black superhero women, black superheroes, women superheroes, LGBT superheroes. He wanted to change the whole Marvel universe. We know, apparently, oh yeah, they have a gay superhero now and a black superhero. He just basically goes on and on and on about how Feige has changed things and turned things upside down, and you know, done things for the better. And I'm very, again, it's one of those things for me where I'm really excited about it. I think it's a really cool story. I think that it just goes to show not only how charismatic Kevin Feige is, but also just how convincing and even to a point how powerful he is. Because he was able to go in front of one of the biggest Disney shareholders, stand his ground and say, this is what's going to happen. This is how we're going to do this and everything else. And he won. Obviously, Bob Iger, the head of Disney, completely trusts Kevin Feige. And I'm actually really excited, being a Star Wars freak as I am. I'm excited to see what Kevin's going to do with the Star Wars film. But it's very, very cool and very, very... It's fun to hear these kinds of stories, especially after they're all said and done, so you already know how the outcome is, but it's kind of like looking into an alternate universe and going, ooh, what if? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if this had happened? Can you imagine where Marvel would be if Kevin Feige had gotten canned? Oh, good Lord. That would have, oof. Wow, okay, let's not think about that, because that just makes me want to feel sick. But anyways, it's a cool story. It's, you know, it definitely is fun to hear about these kind of things. And it really shows you what an awesome, what a visionary that Kevin Feige really is. And speaking of Star Wars, got a little Star Wars news here for you guys from a galaxy far, far away. Apparently, there's a new Star Wars movie in the works, with J.D. Dillard, director of the movie Slight, and Matt Owens, the writer of Luke Cage and the Luke Cage Netflix series, penning the script. It is unknown if the film is going to be on Disney Plus or a theatrical release. And as far as we know right now, it is unrelated to the previously mentioned Kevin Feige Star Wars project or the Rian Johnson trilogy, which I'm not sure if the Rian Johnson trilogy is still happening, but we'll see. But let's get back to the beginning of this. So apparently there's a new Star Wars movie in the works, which I am very excited about. Obviously, if you know anything about me, you know that Star Wars is my lifeblood. Star Wars is everything to me. Star Wars is the most amazing thing that has ever happened in the world. And honestly, Star Wars changed the face of cinema. And if you don't agree with me, send me an email at MediaMadhousePod@gmail.com, and let's get into it. I will read it on air, and we can have a discussion about it. In fact, I'm even going to be adding something into this where you can actually send in voice recordings, and it will play on here, and I will be able to argue with you right on the podcast. So, there's something else for you guys to have some fun with. I'm going to take a quick break for this story, and we'll get back to it in a second. But again, guys, if you have something you want to talk about, if you disagree with me on something, if you agree with me on something and just want to tell me how much you agree with me, if you have a question about a film or about the show or about something that's going on in my vast different careers, if you don't already know about them, then send me an email. MediaMadhousePod@gmail.com. Again, MediaMadhouse, P-O-D, one word, @gmail.com. Send me an email. Talk to me. You know, let's have a conversation. If you send me something you don't want read on air, then just let me know in the email. Otherwise, send me something and I will read it on air and we will go over it and we will talk about it and we will discuss it and we will go back and forth if we have to. It'll be a good time. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm very, 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 very excited about getting back to this. But anyway, so back to this whole story. So the new Star Wars movie, there's not a lot to say about it right now. And that kind of sucks. I'll be honest, I haven't seen J.D. Dillard's movie. I watched the Luke Cage series and I loved it. I know a lot of people had half and halves on it. Some people, especially I think season two. A lot of people like to think first half of the season and then hated the second half or vice versa. I don't remember which way it swung on that one, but I know a lot of people did, you know, were mixed on the Luke Cage series. I liked it. I thought it was good. And that's the thing about this whole thing with writers, because I see this a lot in different pundits, guys I respect and I love. And obviously I'm a little know nothing, so I don't really have any point to say that I know better. But from a writing standpoint, because I am a writer, I've written books that have been published. I've written scripts that have been made into films and more that are on their way. As a writer, I know a lot of people are like, oh, this movie. Oh, you know, he wrote this movie. Like, let me think. Okay. As an example, the Disney Lone Ranger. Full disclosure, I like that movie. I knew it was supposed to be a comedy. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was fun. It had action. It was really cool. I enjoyed it. I know a lot of people hated it. But the writer, say he does like a Star Wars movie or a Marvel movie or, you know, anything else, an X-Files movie. They redo another X-Files and he's, you know, going to be penning the script. People will go through his filmography of what he did. And they'll see the Lone Ranger and they'll go, oh boy. Oh boy. And it's one of those things where it's like, whether you like the movie or not, whether the movie tanked or not, that does not mean that it's the writer's fault. Another example, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. A lot of people did not like that movie. I know that the new Indiana Jones movie is coming out. Indiana Jones, what is that, 4, 6? 6? 4, 5, 5, Indiana Jones 5. But they announced that the writer was going to be the writer of Crystal Skull. And I saw a whole bunch of people going, oh no. Oh no. And I have a problem with this. From the standpoint of a writer, there are a lot of different elements that contribute to a film succeeding or failing. It's not always the writer. Sometimes a writer can do the best work of his life, and a director or a producer can turn that idea upside down, inside out, and just crap all over it. That doesn't mean it's the writer's fault. And that doesn't mean that the writer's ideas didn't follow through the way they should have. So, and I'm sure there'll be people who talk, oh, no, let's hope this guy does better than he did with Luke Cage. The fact of the matter is that writers are different. Everybody, you know, some people are stronger in some areas, some people are stronger or weaker in others. That doesn't mean that they're not good writers. It doesn't mean that, you know, they should be defined by one film that didn't work. Because guess what? A lot of writers, most writers write dozens of scripts, if not hundreds of scripts. That's what their job is. Their job is literally to sit and write. They either get hired by a studio to write a story that the studio came up with, or they sit down and write their own stories and then take them to the studio and say, what do you think? So, as far as the Star Wars thing goes, obviously, you know, I'll be keeping an eye on it. Obviously, you know, I'll be looking for any information I possibly can get about it. And it will be definitely interesting to see where Disney goes with this as far as whether to put it in a theatrical release or just do a Disney Plus thing. Disney Plus has really become a big deal for Disney and a really incredible platform and a good way for people to be able to do things and get them to a established audience and be able to make the money that they need to off of them. So it'll definitely be interesting in the coming months and years to see how the dynamic is with Disney as far as what goes to the theaters and what goes to the Disney Plus thing. It's going to be very interesting. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that one. All right, guys, and we are on our last topic for the day. Oh, it feels good to bring this back. It feels good to talk about this stuff. And I'll continue this after we get this story out of the way, where I'll gush and everything else. So, our last story today is Venom 2 photos on set with Tom Hardy, Woody Harrelson, and Andy Serkis. These are some really cool photos. Again, if you guys want, you can go look these up online. It's real simple. Just search in Google and they'll pop right up. But these are really cool. It shows them having a lot of fun on set. Woody Harrelson is one of my favorite actors of all time, not just as an actor, but also as a person. The fact that he is in the second Venom movie is just absolutely amazing. Technically, he was in the first one, but that was like a bonus after credit scene. But the cast that they have with Woody Harrelson and Tom Hardy, plus having Andy Serkis as the director, which I'm sorry, I think Andy Serkis is a great filmmaker. Not necessarily just in the sense of being a director, because he hasn't directed a whole lot. But in the sense of like the characters that he's played, and you know, he did a lot of second unit stuff on the Hobbit movies. You know, so he learned from one of the best filmmakers on the planet. You know, he learned from Peter Jackson. So obviously the guy's, you know, talented. He keeps getting these jobs. So obviously the guy knows what he's doing. So it's just really cool that he's, you know, he's helming this thing. It's really funny that we're getting this whole thing. Because if you remember anything about what was going on when the first Venom came out, pundits, movie people, experts were just going off the rails about how this is going to be the biggest bomb of 2018. I believe it came out in November of 2018. This is going to be a bomb. This is DOA, dead upon arrival. No way anyone's going to be able to come in, going to be able to salvage this. Blah, 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 blah. The movie ended up making $856 million overall. It almost made $1 billion. So obviously the sequel is definitely something that people are looking forward to. But the thing is that they kind of hyped it up, the sequel, after everyone's talking about, you know, oh, the film's gonna fail, this film's gonna fail, the first Venom. And yet they still had the foresight to add something that would make people excited about a sequel, and that is Woody Harrelson, who's playing Cletus Cassidy, aka Carnage. I have been waiting for years, since I was a kid, for a video or for a movie about, not just about Venom, which I thought they did a great job with Venom. I know he wasn't, didn't have the Spider-Man backstory and yada yada yada, but I mean, they got the essence of the character. They got the world of the character. They had the dark. They had the comedy. If you haven't seen the first Venom, do yourself a favor. Spend the $3 to $5 to rent the damn thing on any streaming service you can and watch it. It is so good, so funny. I just die laughing watching it every time. But they added Woody Harrelson as Cletus Cassidy into the after credit scene of the first Venom movie. They didn't know if the movie was going to make it. They didn't know if the movie was going to tank, but they did it anyways. And that caused such a hype too. I know that that definitely contributed because Woody Harrelson's awesome. And if you know anything about the Cletus Cassidy character, you know that us nerd boys have been waiting for this, and nerd girls. I don't want to, you know, siphon anybody out. But the nerd community has been wanting to see Cletus Cassidy on screen. And if you don't know anything about Cletus Cassidy is a serial killer. He's a completely psychotic, deranged madman. And the Venom symbiote ends up giving birth, essentially. And its offspring molds and bonds with Cletus Cassidy, and he becomes the Carnage character, the Carnage symbiote. So I'm really excited about this. I think that Sony is really getting some good groundwork with their Spider-Verse or Spider-Universe or however they're wanting to describe it, because they've got Venom, which was amazing. Venom 2 is looking really good so far from what I've seen and heard. It's looking really exciting. Then the Morbius trailer that just came out, that looks really good. I'm really excited about that one. And then I think they just announced that Kraven the Hunter was going to be made. I'll have to look into that, and maybe it'll pop up on a story sometime soon. But the Morbius trailer looked amazing. It actually was really, I was really excited about it. So I think Sony's little Spider-Verse, little world of Spider-Man that they're building is going pretty well so far. And I'm excited to see this movie. I'm excited to see what they come up with and what they announce next. All right, guys, that is it for me today. Thank you guys so much for joining me today, for listening to me ramble and talk and nerd and geek out and everything else. I really appreciate it. Again, guys, if you want to talk to me about something or have me talk about a specific subject, please email me at MediaMadhousePod@gmail.com. Once again, MediaMadhousePod, one word, @gmail.com. And just send me an email, tell me what you want to talk about, and I will bring it up on the show. Also, we have audio messages that you can send in, that you can do that with. I'm sure that, you know, through Anchor, you'll be able to find everything. I'll be promoting a lot of this stuff as well, so keep your eye out. Check us out on Facebook, Media Madhouse. Facebook.com/Media Madhouse, I believe, is the link. And then also, you can just find me on social media. And I literally have a Twitter, I have Instagram, Facebook pages, you name it. I probably got a YouTube channel's up the wazoo. So check out everything. And I hope to see you guys again on the next episode of the Media Madhouse.